schoolers and high schoolers are dismissed your classes along with your leaders. This Christmas season, we've been doing a series of messages based on the theme of home for Christmas. And Christmas really is all about home. It is about our God deciding to come and make our home his home, the home that he's made for us to be his home as well. It's about us being home with him. It's about us being home in a family, maybe a human family, but also that family of God that he's given for us. It's about life, home for Christmas. And it's significant that I think that the way things have developed with the traveling in the Christmas season, people coming home, people going home, it's symbolic of the first Christmas where there was a lot of traveling. It was all about the traveling. Mary and Joseph traveling and going to that place away from home as the Savior of the world came home here to be with us in our home. We've been looking at the life Joseph was living at that time and the reality he was living in during this season. And today we're going to kind of do the whole passage that highlights what's been going on with Joseph in that first Christmas. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much that you came home at Christmas, that we might be home with you through what you did in your journey, in your mission here on this earth. Lord, I ask that you would help us this morning to wake up to the reality of Christmas in our own lives. Lord, we do want to do what we sang right now. We want to praise you right now. We want to give you our lives. We ask you to help us to hear you speaking to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Linda and I were out shopping and found this really cool sign. It's a plaque. Maybe it's a plaque. I don't know. We'll call it a plaque. And it's got glitter on it, and I love the glitter, really. Love the glitter. That's kind of what attracted me to it. But here's what it says. Holidays, bringing out the best in family dysfunction. Well, some of us know what that means, and maybe all of us do, could be. It is good to laugh about it. And really, it's appropriate too. I talked about the appropriateness of traveling because of the first Christmas. Well, it's appropriate to have family dysfunction at this Christmas time or any Christmas time, because it was going on at the first Christmas as well. Why do I say that? Well, Joseph, we read a little bit about what was going on with him, and then it says he was sleeping on it. He went to sleep, and really what was happening was he was going through a little dysfunction in his family. He was letting fear prevail over love. He was being dominated by fear and letting go of love, and that is one of the reasons there is dysfunction in relationships. So he's sleeping on this reality that he's facing. Maybe he's feeling like an outsider as he goes to sleep. He might feel left out of what is going on, missing out. He was betrothed to Mary. It's like marriage, but living separately. And this was going to go on for a year, this process of betrothal. And so Mary turns out to be pregnant. But the Holy Spirit is the one who caused the child to be conceived. But Joseph, he's made a decision. He's maybe feeling left out. He's going to lose the marriage that he wanted. Because while it was an arranged marriage, he and Mary had to agree to it. This whole thing, whatever was going on, he didn't have any part in it. He was just kind of left out. And then he made his decision. Joseph made his own decision his own way. And it describes him here in Matthew 1 as a good man. He's faithful to the law. He didn't want to bring disgrace to Mary. All very good. However, he was going his own way in this decision, because he didn't have to divorce her. The law didn't require it. And it seems like he did want to marry her. So and the angel told him, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. So he's being dominated by fear in his decision. He's giving up what he wanted in love because he was afraid. He was afraid perhaps of what other people would think. Maybe his reputation would take a hit. God didn't require him to do that. The law didn't require him. Even the added on laws that people added onto God's law of life. So he went to sleep, going his own way. And then in his sleep came his enlightenment. In a dream, the angel messenger came to him and revealed the light of the truth. It was the Holy Spirit bringing new life into the one who was in his wife's womb. He is to marry Mary. And his Savior was in the womb of his going-to-be wife. His name would be Jesus, and Joseph would be the one to give him that name. But he is the one who would save people from their sins. His enlightenment came in this dream that he had a place. He wasn't an outsider. He had a place. He belongs in the family portrait. He is the son of David. He's in that line, the most revered line, the line of David. And he is going to be the earthly father of the Savior from heaven. He has a place. Joseph has a place, and he has a purpose. He's in this. He's not left out. He's not insignificant. He's not irrelevant. He is at the center of this. He's going to be the one to name the name of Jesus. This is really significant. It's not just like giving out a name. When you name the name from the Jewish perspective of Joseph in the Old Testament, you are the one who has authority over the name that you named, the person that you named. So for Joseph to be given the responsibility of naming the name of Jesus means that he's being given the role of protecting and providing for, of having the responsibility of helping this one grow and become the one God has called him to be. So when the dream is over, Joseph wakes up to Christmas. It's time. And the reality of Christmas came home to him. The living truth came home to him. The truth is alive. I'm living in the middle of the truth. The one who would be the way, the truth, and the life was going to be born. It was living truth with him. And that truth was that he was right in the middle of all of God's plan for bringing salvation through this son. He was now free and he was empowered to take Mary home and be her husband as he truly wanted to be because of his love. And he was going to, there are going to be questions asked because this process was supposed to take a year. They're supposed to be apart for a year and then come together and be married completely, the marriage to be consummated. But now people are going to have questions. They're going to wonder what was going on. Because right now they're violating the process. They're going to be married immediately. But Joseph now had the freedom not to care, not to be afraid, but to live in love, following his Lord. So, the living truth has come home. He came home. He was born. He was crucified. He was buried. He was raised up to new life. He was taken to heaven. He is alive now as our living Savior who promised to be with us always. The question comes to you and me. Have we awakened to Christmas? Is the reality of Christmas our reality? Has the reality of Christmas come home to you and to me? And have we embraced it? Christmas has come to our door. The reality of it. Have we opened that door? Have we welcomed the truth, the living truth, to our lives, to our homes? Do you have a place in this? Or maybe it's possible that we could feel like an outsider in this whole Christmas thing, right? For one thing, maybe we feel outside of it spiritually. Jesus came to earth to be born. We are now to be the dwelling place of God as people. His place of dwelling is to be in you and in me. That was his plan. And so the first question is, are we in that family portrait? Are we an insider in the relationship with the Lord where where we have the life that he came to bring. Do you know that life? Are you an insider in Christ, in the life that only he can give? Do you know his life? Do you know that he did come to save you from your sin? That you are fully forgiven forever for your sins, all of them. Have you ever made the Savior of the world your Savior by telling him you believe in him as the one who died for you and the one who has life for you now and forever? He's coming to your door. Tell him welcome. If you've never welcomed him as your Savior. Embrace him. Believe and receive, as it says in John 1. And he will come in and live with you. And you will live through him. There's another way we can feel like an outsider in this whole Christmas thing. When we can have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can know that we will live with him forever. But it's possible that we can see ourselves as outsiders of what he's doing right now, of what his mission is right now on this earth. We can feel outsiders from his family. We can feel like we don't belong. Well, Jesus Christ came that you might know that you have a place in him. You have a place in his family. You belong here. You belong to him. You belong to his family. There's no one else who belongs more than you do. And you have not only a place, but like Joseph, you have a purpose. You're not an outsider. You're not meant to be a spectator. We can get ourselves into that place when it comes to having God fulfill the purpose that we have, that comes forth from the relationship that he's called us into as his child and as his servant, that we say that's for other people. It's not me. I mean, those other people, those are the ones. They're the ones that are supposed to be involved in the mission. I just kind of watch. When it comes to stuff like serving him, like loving him, like worshiping him, like making him known, all of that stuff, praying, it's not me. I'm an outsider to that. I'm a spectator. The good news is that God has a purpose for you. Just like Joseph had to wonder, what's my part in this thing? All this is going on around me. What's my part? The Lord has a part for you and for me. Just as he had that for Joseph. Joseph taught Jesus the family business. Jesus taught Joseph his heavenly Father's business, the purpose of his life. Through Jesus, Joseph became aware of his heavenly purpose in his earthly life. And it's the same for us. And we have the same purpose that Joseph had. The first purpose, knowing him. Knowing him. That's really, Joseph was called to be his earthly father, to be in relationship with him, to know him. To be connected relationally at home. And that's how we are to be. Jesus has decided, this is mind-boggling, he has decided that the the temple that he dwells in on earth is me and you, us. He dwells in earthly temples, which are us. And what kind of hospitality are we showing him in this home? Are we knowing him in our home? You know, there's this this tradition that has happened. I don't know where it came from, but where you go to someone, you have someone come to your house and you say, thanks for coming. And you're at someone's house and they say, thanks for coming. And you say, thanks for having me. And it's a nice thing. It's very polite, all of that. But think about if you're that guest and things aren't really so much fun. It's awkward in that home. It's uncomfortable. They're not paying attention to you. You feel neglected. You feel left out. And they say, thanks for coming. And maybe on the outside, the words are, well, thanks for having me. But, wow, I can't wait to get out of here. Just because Jesus is dwelling in us, that does not mean that we know him. The shepherds heard about the birth of Jesus and they went. And I wonder what went through their minds and hearts when they looked at him. And those magi from far away somehow knew about Jesus and they traveled that distance and they went to bring him gifts. And I wonder what was going through their hearts and minds when they saw him. The line from that Christmas carol is, oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Imagine going to see Jesus, and there he is, and adoring him. Of course, we're adoring him. Look at him. Wow. I believe that the first purpose that we have that comes to us through the experience of Christmas, the reality of Christmas, is that we are to be knowing him. Our life's mission is to know him. What if we kind of saw that, defined that in knowing him more, that we might adore him more? Not just to know the facts, but to look at him. Look at him. Look at what he's doing. Look at how he is. Listen to what he just said. Wow, I adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Because the more we know him, the more we can adore him. But if he's just living in the house and we're neglecting him and we're not going after him and we don't spend time with him and we don't listen to him and we don't see him in action, it's hard to adore him more. Oh, come let us adore him. Come let us know him more that we might adore him more. I have to believe that as Jesus grew, that's what happened to Joseph. I mean, some of you are parents and you've gone through that process of watching a baby get to a certain age and they're a person. Look at that. We can talk about all these things and then they just grow and then they become older and then these words come out of their mouths and you go, wow, that was so cute or that was so profound or they do something and it was unexpected. Wow, that was amazing what they did. That had to be the experience that Joseph had as he worked beside Jesus, as he grew up and day by day he was with him. He was knowing him more. That's how it is to be with us, that It's not that Jesus grows up, but that we grow up as we look at him and know him and listen to him and follow him, go with him. The second purpose Joseph had could be kind of capsulized in saying, naming him. The name in the Old Testament and the Jewish faith captured the person. It summarized the person. And that's why the name of Jesus was so significant. When you say someone's name, you're summarizing, you're capturing the person. So to name the name of Jesus is to name the one who is this person. It's to name the name of Jesus is to name the one who says these words. To name the name of Jesus is to name the name of the one who does these things. And that's our second purpose. To know him and then to name him as we know him. Jesus, the one who came after me when I didn't deserve it. The one who went to the cross for me. The one who loves me. The one who, when I feel lonely, I know he's with me and I don't need to feel lonely because he's there. The one who shows me the way with his words. The one who has healed me. The one who has taken care of me every day. The one who has always fulfilled his promises. The one who has been at work when I didn't even know he was at work. Just naming him as we know him. That's our purpose. That's what Joseph did. That's what we're called to do. This Christmas and all year round. But we have a special opportunity in this season, don't we? People are just a little more spiritually hungry. Looking for love a little more. Looking for a little more hope in the darkness of their own pain. Name him to the people around you. Jesus, the one who loves me and loves you. Jesus, the one who's given hope to my life and can give hope to your life. Jesus, the one who's provided for me and can provide for you. Jesus, the one who's forgiven my sins and wants to forgive your sins. Jesus, what a name. We're going to take a couple of minutes and listen to some beautiful music. And at the end of that time, we will be dedicating gifts to the homeless. People have brought in items that right now our youth and children have been putting them into bags. We're going to dedicate those after this time. So would those who are doing the music come on up? I invite you to use this time to be with Jesus. Listen to the beautiful music and turn your heart and your mind. Speak to him. Maybe there's someone that he would call you to name him in their life. Maybe to do something, to be something to someone. Let's listen. Thank you. The children are going to bring in the gifts now and thank the children and the middle school and high school students for putting these bags together. Thank you so much. Many of you have brought things in to be put into the bags, and they put them together. What's going to happen is we're going to pray and ask God to make amazing things happen when people get these gifts. But we will, after we pray, Emily Hughes is going to read, actually we'll have you read before the prayer. Emily's going to read a letter that will be in each of these bags. Then we will have the offering during the first song that we sing. Once offering is done being received, if you believe the Lord would have you take one of these bags and have it available to give to a person without a home whenever you see them, or maybe you've got a plan for where you could go to bring someone one of these gifts, but we want our people to take these today and be the hands of Jesus Christ in bringing these gifts to those who have no home this Christmas season. Emily?
This word is not just a word for the homeless, but it's a word that they will be receiving in their bags, but it's also for each one of us. So you might want to close your eyes as I read this, but this is for you as well. Precious child, from the cross, my eyes looked down through the ages. I saw your unformed body, and even then, I longed after you. I longed for you to know me deeply and intimately. I have always loved you. My love for you will never cease, for there is nothing transient or fickle about my love. It changes not. When your heart is burdened by sin and a sense of weakness or failure, you have tarried too long on the fringes of my affection. The shelter I have made for you at the foot of the cross has somehow escaped you. I call you to run into my paternal embrace daily. Allow me to quiet and comfort you. As you allow the forgiveness and cleansing I have purposed for you from the cross, you will become increasingly free to love yourself, accept your failings and weaknesses, and enter into the dance of divine affection and holy, purifying love. Did you know that it's my love that purifies you? That in the very place you like yourself least, I could not love you more. I know that you are weak and have little strength, but as you put your hope in me, know that one day I will stand at your side and declare to the world that I have loved you. Know that my face is towards you and heaven is positioned to help you in your deepest trials and darkest hours. Never give in to self-hatred or unbelief about my love for you, dear one. This is my promise to you. Blessed is the man, woman, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Love, Jesus.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for inspiring Emily with those profound and powerful words. We pray that every person who heard them this morning and every person who reads them as they get these gifts would know the truth that comes forth from them. Lord, thank you for all the generosity that you've inspired and the people who have given and the children in middle school and high school students who have given their labor to this. Lord, would you have your way in this? Would it be that when people get these gifts, that they will know they come from you and they're an expression of your love. And Lord, would they know the life that you want them to know? We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks again, children, young